before Darren makes his announcements, just that last song about our hard time they got through a little bit. One thing with Darren, knowing him for many years now, is his heart and hungers for the Lord. He wants the Lord's best for each one of us here. And so, I don't know if the last 2 weeks we've kind of gathered up a love offering for the Shuttlebauer family. And just Darren gets super embarrassed by this. He just wants to give the Lord and give Jesus. That's it. He doesn't want anything in return in the fleshly realm. But we love him. And one of those ways that we can show our love to you and your family, Darren, is by a monetary gift. I'm just saying thank you. And when Darren started Home Fellowship, just a brief history, is that he just wanted this church to be a giving church, a loving church. And one thing about Darren is he is a pastor that's in the trenches with us. You know, I just have that picture in my head of us just shoveling the dirt, shoveling the grime that this world has to throw at us. And Darren doesn't sit somewhere out with his legs up on a desk somewhere just relaxing. He's right there with us. And he gives so much of his time throughout the week to each one of us in prayer and meeting with us and calling us. That it's just an amazing gift that the Lord's given us here at Home Fellowship.
Amen.
It's through him and his family.
Amen. Amen.
And so it's a small token of our appreciation to you. But we love you. We appreciate you. And for me personally, I know how hard you work and that you're right there in the dirt and mire with us. And so we love you guys. And the church was able to raise over a little bit of $1,000 for your family. And so, yeah, thank you, church. Awesome.
Incredibly awesome, and I know so many of you guys have, even for Christmas, given us gift cards. It's so humbling, and I'm not really good at receiving stuff, so let me just say thank you, and you guys are really wonderful and amazing. I don't even know what else to say, so thank you. And, let's go on to the announcements in the Word. How about that? So I can... Okay. All right, let's do that. Okay, now I got to kind of gather myself and actually think about what we're doing. Okay. So a couple announcements before we get into the Word of God, and then we'll go from there. And thank you guys again. All right. Make sure this thing is on. There we go. Thanks. Okay, so a couple quick announcements. So this is important. Okay, so if you guys don't know, there are Christian radio stations. It's kind of, we've got folks who have been walking with the Lord for 40 years, and we've got folks walking with the Lord for about 4 weeks. So if you're looking for Christian radio stations, why not listen to music or be honoring the Lord with it? And so 88.1, the Joy FM, is a Christian radio station, or 104.3, Moody Radio. Both are solid Christian radio stations, different reasons, different genres. You can hear Bible teachings, you can hear from different folks, and good, awesome Christian music. So we just want to make sure you're aware of that. We've got some free Panera Bread in the back. There's loaves of bread, there's bagels, tons of stuff back there. After the service, feel free to take some home in Jesus' name, as you've been munching on the pastries, I'm sure, already. The tithes and offerings, we don't take up tithes and offerings. We don't want to make it about money. It's all about the Lord. However, we do receive your tithes and offerings in the back. We have a little bird box back there because he supplies the birds of the air and for us. We do have an equipping ministry here. That's what we do. We equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We do have some giveaways this morning, but we're going to do that a little bit later. Learner Library, we'll get that back up and running again soon. We also have sermons online at homefellowship.com for those of you who missed some of the teachings. We meet here for prayer at around 9:30 on Sunday mornings if you'd like to join us for prayer. This week we have Wednesday is youth group from 6:30 to 8:30, and Josh and Amanda Panda for more detail. But we'd love for you to come out if you're a teen. And Thursday night we have a barbecue and Bible study. Just bring a side to share, and it's a great time. I think this week, last week was Tom. This week is me, Gary. This week is Gary, and he's going to be going through the book of Mark. We want you to come join us. Also, we're looking for somebody. We need somebody faithful and reliable. And so if that's you, maybe once a month or twice a month, that can bring food for that night. And even if you don't have the money for it, we can help with that. But we're looking for somebody to come that can just say, I'm willing to bring the food, the main dish, one night a month, one Thursday a month. So if that's you and you can take over that one responsibility, will you please see Tom Panhurst? And we'd love for you to do that. Shepherd's Hill Christian School, okay. Right, we're still raising funds for the Ark Encounter, which we're going to, and Creation Museum and Discovery Cove. Okay, that's about it. Oh, yeah, continue to pray for the wonderful folks that have just been baptized, because the enemy likes to pick on them the most because they're young in the Lord. And if you guys have gotten saved recently and you want to get baptized, this is terrible. Okay, this is what goes on in my head. I'm thinking, you need to wait a month until it gets a little bit warmer. No. If you want to get baptized, Lord, that's the next step in your relationship with the Lord, being in obedience to Him. And it signifies you going underwater, you're washing that sin, you're leaving that old life behind, you're telling everybody publicly, I'm coming up, I wanna live a new life, a resurrected life, and I want to follow Jesus. I'm tired of living the old way. I don't want to do that anymore. And so if you want to get baptized, come see me, and we'll arrange a day. We did it in, what, December, did we? November? I can't remember. It was a little cold. It was a little cold.
This is the time that we're going to freeze this in.
You know, I'd still do it. You know, I just, really, that's the only, I was telling the Lord even this morning, you know, I was just praying, Lord, I just want you, Lord, and I want to please you, and I want your people to grow and be rooted in strength. I just want to teach your truth, Lord, and I want folks to receive it and grow deep in the Lord. That's the only mission here. So if we're in 40-degree waters, bring it. Okay? I'll have Gary baptize you. No. Also, for those of you who are not familiar with Nick and Ashley, they just got married here in December, and they just moved, and I talked to them without going into any detail. They specifically asked this Sunday, would you please tell the body, because they're up in Georgia, they so miss this church, and they so miss this body, they just want to come home.
I knew it.
And so, and he waited 8 years. So they're just broken. They just want to come back, and it's gonna happen. It's gonna be probably another month before they can save up the finances. So they just asked if we would just pray for their speedy return. They still want to be back here, and so yeah. So anyway, and so, yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely welcoming them with open arms. 100% them, the kids. That's right. Who is that guy in the tie?
I've never seen him in a tie before.
I know.
A little loose.
Yeah. All right, so before we get started in the Word, we have, just so you guys, if you don't know, we have folks that listen to you guys and to us, because when you speak, it's put on the internet. So we have folks listening from other states, even, I believe, from other countries. Mm-hmm. And so, Nate, if you wouldn't mind coming up here just for a second. Some folks in here sometimes think, I don't want to talk in a microphone. However, if you have something to share, sometimes the folks in the back can't hear. There's also sometimes folks sitting outside because they don't want too much pressure. I'll listen, but I'll be outside. You know, that happens. And there's folks listening online, and they want to hear what you have to say. And so we want you to use the mic and use it the right way. So, thank you.
Great. Well said, Dan. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yes, as our body has grown, it has required us to start using these electronics and everything. And it is a little cumbersome, but if you all could help us out by the whenever somebody brings... Number one, if you could wait till the microphone comes to you. And then number two is that when the microphone comes to you, if you could hold it basically right at or almost touching your chin, that's the best way to hold it. When we get down like this, then somebody in the back starts boosting it, and then it starts squealing, and then it causes all kinds of... And then when you hear it squeal, you want to go further away, and then we push the volume more to hear it more, and it doesn't work. So anyway, if you can just kind of help us out by bringing the mic up. the wind patterns and the way these things are designed, they really are designed to be up close. And when they're up close, they sound good. And when they get further apart, they just don't work as well. So anyway, if you guys can help us with that, that would be great. And a bit of housekeeping. So thank you. Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Nate. Okay, so anyway, so we are going through the Word verse by verse, and we are in the book of Colossians. There should be a Bible maybe in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll get you one. Chris, would you mind grabbing some Bibles, or Elijah? And if you want a Bible to use here today, just raise your hand or your paw, and one will be delivered right to you, because we want you in the Word of God. That's the main thing. We're in the book of Colossians. That's in the New Testament. New Testament. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. The substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Christ. And if you're a lazy guy or maybe a lazy girl or teen, grab a Bible anyway and open it up. If you need help, ask your neighbor. If your neighbor doesn't know, raise your hand and we'll get somebody to help you. But we want you to be reading the Word of God for yourself. Don't just listen to what somebody else says. You know how many wackos are out there right now? Bad teachers? Bad winds of doctrine? It's honestly, as a guy who's walked with the Lord for many years now, I listen to some of this stuff and it's interwoven with stuff. It scares me. And I think, and most people don't know, so they're not in the Word of God for themselves. So I want to teach you and encourage you and exhort you to be in the Word of God for yourself. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit that teaches you. The only reason I can teach you is because the Holy Spirit empowers me. He's called me to do that. Otherwise, I'm a big knucklehead. And some of you already know that. Okay, so in Colossians chapter 3, we're talking about the resurrected life. We're talking about putting off the old self. Now that we're believers, for those of you who have been born again and chosen to put your faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, He wants you to take off that old life. And put on the new life. Take off the lying. Take off the bitterness. Take off all these things. And put on, clothe yourselves with kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience. So that people see you, they see something different. You know, and that goes for everywhere we go. Right? I was at the, I know, one of my illustrations, I was just thinking about this, being Italian, they're all revolving around where I go to eat. That's so embarrassing. But anyway, so I was at this restaurant, and this waitress goes, you know, she was just asking some questions. She's like, and it was a bunch of times, and finally she comes back. She's like, you are such a good person. You are such a good person. You're a good, well, actually what she said is you're such a good human. But I thought it was very, the heart intent was wonderful. And I thought, and I said, you know, thank you. And so I didn't know what to say, you're a good human. But so I thought the Lord was saying, you know, you need to go back and you need to tell her. You know, you need to tell her. So the next time I said, you know what, I'm sorry, can you just stop for just a second? You know, you said I'm such a good person. Can I tell you, I am a selfish, self-centered, knucklehead pig of a guy. That's been saved by Jesus Christ. And as I started to go through all this knucklehead self, she's like, her eyes are. I said, that was saved by Jesus Christ. It's Him. It's Jesus who's done the work. So if you see these good things in me or in those around you, it's because of Jesus. And does that affect how you treat other people? Are you kind and loving? Some new folks are like, wow, everybody's so nice. We're so good. Yes. Make sure that you are purposely saying hello, being kind, being gentle, being humble with other folks around you, everywhere we go. Okay, I'm getting sidetracked. Okay, it says to bear with one another, not that kind of bear, but to be long-suffering with, make allowances for others' faults because of your love. Be patient with folks. Some folks have a lot of baggage, right? Some folks can be very old in one area, but they're very immature. Some people can be... Linda, who just moved, used to always sit right there, and she was, I guess she's not here, so I can say it. She was an older woman. She was an older woman, but she was like a few years in Christ. She was a baby, and so here you think this older woman, but sometimes she would be a little, you know, whatever, because she was young in the Lord. So you have to make allowances for folks. You have to be patient. You who are more mature, be patient, kind, right? Okay. All right, be gentle, be patient with one another. Okay, we talked last week about forgiving, and forgiveness is like unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing we were the prisoner all along. So God wants to have us to have forgiving hearts, harboring unforgiveness in our hearts, like drinking poison but hoping that the other person would die. You know? And so we talked a lot about forgiveness. He doesn't want us to forgive seven times, but 70 times seven. He wants us to have an attitude of forgiveness because we've been forgiven so much. And Satan is scheming against us, trying to get us to not forgive one another. He's here to cause divisions. He is planning, purposing, trying to divide you from the church, from the fellowship, from other believers, from whatever. That's his whole goal. You know, he'll always bring it back. That person, oh, this thing, that group, that whatever. That's his whole goal. Don't let him scheming against you. Have a hard attitude. We talk about a hard attitude that hopes the best, that overlooks or covers most offenses, that's not easily offended or angered, that has a heart of humility and forgiveness and love. And I'm going to scroll through these really quickly to get to, oh yeah, don't be the Christian who shoots first and asks questions later. I did that this morning with my son. A little embarrassing. So we have all these pastries, right, that we have from Panera. And so a lot of them have, like, a lot of yummy goop on top and stuff because they're all full of sugar and everything you get bad for you. That's so tasty. And so I asked him to put, you know, put it in my car because we're leaving. And so I come and I, the bins with all the stuff on them are like, instead of being set in the back seat, are like sideways. And I'm like, oh. So I get out there, I'm like, Elijah, dude, I asked you to put them out there. And so after I go through my little tirade, you know, he's like, Dad, I did put them up there. They just must have fell. Okay. Gosh. Sorry. Will you please forgive me? He's like, yeah, Dad, I forgive you. So don't shoot first, ask questions later, okay? All right, let's go through. Let me get to the rain teaching here. Give me a minute to scroll through. Oh, remember, if you're a loving person, cover a multitude of those sins. Let the small stuff go. And the more mature you get, the more you realize more of it's just small stuff. Let it go. Don't be held back by some of that. Now, there are big things that's going to affect you that you have to address, which we talked about, but I'll get to you in a minute. It's not a kind of, I'll get to you in a minute. Okay? All right, let's just scroll through. Here we go. Bam. I want to get to the thing, get to my teaching. Sorry, just ignore me. Okay, remember, when you're in a conflict, remember, glorify God. How can I please the Lord in this situation? Look at it as an opportunity if you're mature. Get the log out of your own eye before you remove that speck that's in their eye. Gently restore them and go and be reconciled if it's possible. And remember to choose forgiveness. All right? We talked about Matthew 18. That's the last thing. If something is more serious, then you could just cover it. To go to them, that's the first thing we have to do, is to go and be reconciled and show them their fault in a humble way, just between the two of you, speak the truth in love. And then lastly, that doesn't work, grab a couple of friends, tell them privately, or her. And if they still refuse, tell it to the church, tell it to the pastors. And if that doesn't, then, you know, God's lesson, you still have to forgive them, but treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. You know, we're not going to have intimate fellowship with them. That's what the Bible says. Okay? And then we left off with it. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, there were some questions that folks had from last week. So if you're just coming in here, sitting this week, and you missed all of last week, it was very Spirit-led. God was doing a real work, but it lasted a long time. And so people were like, are you in my house? You know, so he even said that over there. You have cameras in my house? That's the Holy Spirit that's working. Okay, but there were some questions. And so I'm going to try to answer the ones that I remember. And one of the questions was, what about if it's family? Okay, what about if it's family? Well, you know, bottom line is, if it's family, again, you use the same principles. Love covers a multitude of sins. Cover as much as you can. If it's something that sits in your craw, you know, you're up at night thinking about it, you can't let that go, then you need to address it with them. If they don't listen, you take another friend. If they don't listen, still, and you tell it to the church, you try to get the church involved, if they still won't listen to you, well, then you know what? Again, if it's extended family, I love you, God bless you, you know, but we're not going to be able to have super intimate fellowship together. Now, you're not going to say that. Oh, we're not going to have intimate fellowship together. You know what? God bless you, but if they don't want that relationship, you're telling them that this is coming in between the relationship. If they don't want to hear it, well, then you have to move forward with the Lord. Now, if they're in your house, let's say it's like, you know, a kid or something, and they're doing something that's so serious, you know, we have to choose to honor the Lord first, right? Somebody gave me this wonderful, somebody made this, hand-carved this. I don't know if you can see it. I thought it was done out of a, yeah, it's an electronic thing that automatically did it. But it says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And listen, God forbid, you know, my kids start, you know, doing some of the things, you know, drinking, whatever, you know, it's, we're all capable of it, right? Right? And if they wouldn't repent of it, you know, at some point, right? And they're in the house, at some point, I'm going to have to, I'm going to work with them and be patient, be loving and try to get them out. If they just won't have anything, this is how I'm going to live, this is, you can, you know, whatever, well, you're going to have to do that out of the house. I love you very much, and I'm here for you. But you can't do that here. You know why? Because there's other ones watching. There's other children that are growing up. Does that make sense? Now, that is a very difficult thing to do. And you love them, and you hope they come back. But we have to make our choices. And as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what we all need to make that decision. Okay? What about, somebody asked another question. Okay, what if I'm the guy who's, you know, being talked to? Okay, okay, let's say I'm the guy, Andy, I've done something to offend Andy. She's come to me, okay? And I'm the guy that's caused the offense, okay? Then here's what we need to do. Here's some A's that will help you. First, address everyone involved. If you've committed a sin against Andy, then I would ask for her forgiveness. If I did it in front of Sue Berger, Kayla, and Andy, then I would have to say, like sometimes we sin in front of our kids. I know maybe you guys never do.
Yeah.
But I would say, listen, guys, you know, I got too angry there. I shouldn't have yelled like that. Will you please forgive me? Andy, I said this bad. I said it. Will you please forgive me? You guys were listening as well. Address everyone involved. Avoid if, buts, or maybe. What I mean by that is, let's say that someone came to me and said, you know what? You really offended me when you did this. And I were to say to them, well, if I did that to you, please forgive me. Well, I did that, but you're kind of a knucklehead. That's not repentance, is it? Do you know what I'm saying? So if you're going to be a godly man or godly woman and you're going to ask for forgiveness, avoid if, ands, buts. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe I did it. Maybe I lied to you. No, you didn't. Either you lied or you didn't lie. You know what I'm saying? Admit specifically your sin. You want to be humbled? Here's what everybody wants to do when they're in sin. Nobody wants to take responsibility for it, right? They want to beat around the bush. Admit specifically your sin. Oh, I'm sorry for the bad things I did. Okay, let me tell you, when everybody gives you that general thing, generally they're not really repentant. Admit specifically your sin. We train our kids to do that. Okay, in other words, well, sorry for what I did. No, you ask forgiveness because you lied to them. Because, and you say, I lied to you, I stole from you, I whatever from you. You know what I'm saying? I spoke unkindly, I whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. When you've really been repentant and you've went to somebody, you're like, man, I'm so sorry. I never should have done this thing. And you're specific, right? Man, I cheated. Oh my God, I can't believe I ever did that. I'm so sorry. You would be like, if somebody cheated on their spouse, well, I'm sorry for, you know, some of those things I did. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was at a, doesn't matter where I was at. But I remember this pastor, this older pastor, grooming this younger pastor, walking in a door. And I remember overhearing them. This older pastor was saying, they just came from a conflict, and the older pastor was saying to younger women, just say you're sorry in general, and don't get for specific. That way they'll listen to you, you can just move on with it. I won't tell you what I thought. But I thought, you sneaky little thing. That is so deceitful, and that is so ungodly. No, when you are asking forgiveness, you be specific. You man up, and you say, I'm sorry, I should not have spoken to you that way. You woman up. As a, you know what? That's how you approach it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Acknowledge the hurt. You've hurt them. I am so sorry I've hurt you. I'm so sorry I dishonored you. I'm so sorry I embarrassed you. I'm so sorry I blank. Does that make sense? You know, accept the consequences. Hey, you know what? There might be consequences. If you're a teen, well, maybe you get the video game time taken away. Well, you're not going to have this. You know, suck it up, buttercup. If it's in a job situation, well, whatever the case, accept the consequences. Alter your behavior. Ask forgiveness. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right, now somebody else, there were some more questions. Sorry, yes, I will get to you. I my pea brain... Here's another one real quickly. What do you do if somebody says the words, okay, but you know that they've got a pattern of doing this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God bless you. They've offended you and offended you and offended you, and you keep going to them and keep going to them, and they have a pattern. They'll say the words, you know. Sometimes you still, I mean, that's when you have to take it to the Holy Spirit. You have to ask him, Lord, what do I do in this situation? If you remember David, there was a time in David's life in 1 Samuel, at the end of 1 Samuel, when Saul, King Saul, was he'd done this many times, and David had cornered him and he could have killed the king. And anyway, a long story short, Saul was like, David, my son, I'm so sorry again. I've treated you badly. I'm wrong. You're right, David. You're the good guy. Blah, 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 and he repents. I've been a fool, he says. Right? And you know what? It says right there, you think David's like, okay, Saul, you took away my wife, you took away my home, you took away, you destroyed my reputation, you slandered me, I've been an outcast for years. He said, okay, that's good. He didn't go right back into fellowship with him, because this was Saul's pattern. In fact, what it says he did is it says that David went his own way. God bless you. Love you, but I know your pattern. So sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to say, be careful, or take it slow. Does that make sense? You know what I'm trying to say? Yes? No?
No.
Okay. All right, another question.
What happens when something has been done to you that is really horrific? You've struggled to get over it for a long time, and you finally go to the person that perpetrated the wrong, and you tell that person that, you know what, I've forgiven you for what you did. And that person turns around and says, well, I didn't do anything. It's all your fault. You were asking for this. It wasn't me. And how do we move on from that?
Okay, you know what? Now, here's what I would like to do. I would like to give you a one-verse answer and then move forward. But the reality of it is it's not always that simple, especially if it's been a terrible, horrific thing. And believe me, after 20 years in the ministry, there's nothing that murder, rape, molestation. So all these things are... I've had that done to me. Those exact words done to me. I've actually brought brothers... Well, I didn't do anything wrong. And then they would do all... It was incredible. It was like living in the Twilight Zone. Okay, so this is what... And actually, what happened was it's more hurt and more pain, because I don't even know how to describe it. So you have to go back, you think, and you have to go to the Lord, because you're almost like, oh my goodness, am I in crazy person land? I know this happened. I know that... Lord, will you just help me to forgive that person? Will you help me to forgive? Okay, if there's anything I've done wrong here, Lord, then I ask your forgiveness for it genuinely. But if not, you know what? Lord, I'm going to move on. I'm going to, it says be at peace with all people. Sometimes that means separating yourself from them. That's their heart. They're not repentant. And if they're not repentant, I'm going to treat them like a pagan or a tax collector. And I'm going to go forward with my life with the Lord. Now, I want to hang on to that anger and that bitterness, and I want to get them, right? Because they deserve it. But I have to let that go and entrust that to the Lord. See, it is not my job. The Lord says, I will repay, says the Lord. And when you really learn to trust Him, you learn that you really can trust Him, even with that. And it's not easy peasy, lemon squeezy, but it's a process, and you can do it. You move forward for the Lord. Otherwise, that person or that situation is going to be a boat anchor that's going to... You're going to carry with you all your life. You're not going to grow in the Lord like you should, be free in the Lord like you should. You move on. That person's the one in sin, not you. Let God take care of them. Don't you worry about it. You can trust in Him. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, now let's move on to today's teaching then. All right. I got my Bible here somewhere. Yes.
No.
Where is it? Oh, I got scared for a second. Okay. Could you delay just for 1 second there, my friend Chris? All right, so we are in Colossians chapter 3. We're in verse 15 and 16. Could someone read verse 15 and 16 of Colossians chapter 3 for us real quick? Anybody have a microphone, just raise your hand and we'll bring the mic to you, and then read verse 15 to 16 in Colossians chapter 3. Or we can sit here uncomfortably for like 20 minutes. Up to you. Whatever's better for you guys.
Okay, so Colossians 3, 15
yes.
and 16?
15 and 16, Amy.
Great.
Bam.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts.
Keep going.
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him.
Amen. Now, the first word in verse 15 says something to me. You know what it is?
Let.
The peace of God. So what does that tell you? What does that word indicate? To let the peace of God. Yes?
It's a choice.
It is.
There.
You can't fight it. If you have to let your flesh go to allow... peace to rule your heart. You have to go for it, yeah.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. You have to let it. You have to let the peace of God, the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts. Now, we're at Christmas time, and we're talking about peace. And Jesus, you guys know from Isaiah 9:6. Okay, keep the lights here. Jesus is called, Isaiah 9:6, our Prince of Peace. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So in one respect, when we're talking about let the peace of God rule in our hearts, we're talking about the Savior, Jesus Christ. We're talking about salvation. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, then you don't know peace. You will have no peace without Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So part of it's talking about salvation. You need to let the peace of God reign in your heart. You need to get Jesus reign in your heart. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, for those of us who have been saved, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, before we come to know God, whether you want to admit it or not, you set yourself up as an enemy of God. God's going this way, and you're going the other way. Okay, you need to make peace with God. He's willing. He's not willing that anyone would perish, that all should come to repentance. Right? He wants, that peace is out there for anyone who would receive Him. okay? And he wants to come into your heart and life. So he's talking about salvation, but he's also talking about let the peace of God, trusting in God in situations and decisions that you're making in your life as a Christian. Micah 5:5 says that he will be in your peace. You remember Jesus, a story, you know, when they're sailing over, he's told his disciples, we're going over the other side, you know, and the winds and the waves are smashing into the boat, the disciples are freaking out, and Jesus is sleeping on the boat. And he's, when he gets up, calms the winds and the waves, right? And he's like, guys, where's your peace? Where's your trust? And where's your faith? Guys, come on. It's the same with you. If you are a born-again believer, right, and God has told you to do something, and you have genuine troubles in your life, right? Sometimes the waves are smashing in, you feel like you're going to drown. Have you ever felt that way? Like you're just like, oh my gosh, everything is caving in on me, right? If you have Jesus in your boat, let me tell you, there's nothing that can be done to send you that boat, to crush your heart. Do you know what I'm saying? Nothing. Jesus will get you over to the other side. He is going to be our peace. His word says this. Listen to this. Let me get back here for a second. Don't look too far ahead. John 14:27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. This is Jesus. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or don't be afraid. That's when you're feeling freaked out. The situation is just crazy, and you're about ready to lose it, right? You cry out to the Lord, and you can hold on to Him no matter what. And it's not, oh, just hold on to Jesus, I'll get you through. I'm talking about a real personal relationship with the King of the universe. When I know that I'm in the King of the universe's hand, I know nobody can snatch me out of His hand, regardless of what comes my way. Does that make sense, guys? You can trust Him. But what happens is we start to freak out. You know, the disciples knew it too, but they start to see the wind, they start to see the waves, the skies, the boat's taking it, we're going to capsize. Ah, Jesus, don't you care? John 16:33 says, these things that I've spoken to you, that in me, Jesus says, in me, you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, trouble, problems, issues. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And if I'm in you as a born-again Christian, you can trust me. I'm not going to let you go, son. I'm not going to let you go, my daughter. He says this, too. He says, listen, through prayer, you know, he says, this is Philippians 4:6-7. I want you to be anxious about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That means, okay, God, I'm starting to freak out here. Lord, will you help me right now in Jesus' name? I'm afraid of this situation, or I'm going to go in this direction, or I'm whatever is. Lord, will you help me? He says, I want you to pray. Talk to me. I'll reassure you. And then it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will come upon you in Christ Jesus, because your understanding is freaking out. But Jesus says, I'm bigger than that. I'm greater than that. And I'm going to give you my peace in the middle of that situation.
So, can I ask a question?
You may not. Yes, of course you can.
Back. Could you go back to the previous slide?
Yes.
It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard. So does that mean God Himself will guard our hearts and our minds and give us His peace when we trust Him?
I think that does exactly mean that. I like that word. I didn't even notice that word until you just mentioned it, that will guard our hearts. Yeah, I really like that.
And minds.
Yes, our guard, right, because that's how our minds can go astray, our hearts can go astray. God can reel all that right back in. Can you bring that over to Sue Berger right there, Sue? I really like that word. It will guard it. Yes.
I think what it comes down to is God is either in control of everything or He's in control of nothing.
Yes.
Amen.
And the more mature we become in the Lord, right, Sue? The more. So how many years have you walked with the Lord? Can you just give her back the mic for a second? I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to do it anyway because I love you and I know you. Roughly.
45.
45 years with the Lord. Okay, can I ask you a question then? You've been through some crazy situations in your life, isn't that true?
Yep.
Wrenching. Many. You've worked with girls from prison, too. We've worked with drug use and a whole bunch of stuff. Is this statement true? Is the Lord our peace? Can He guard our hearts and minds? Has He been able to do that for you in those situations as you trust Him through those 45 years?
Well, absolutely. But I
would. There was a delay there. I was getting nervous.
Well, I think that He stretches us. He continuously stretches us as we grow.
Yes.
And we might go through one situation that caused us to reevaluate and come to Him and put everything on the block again, and we think, okay, I've done that and
not good.
I'm good. Yeah.
Let's stretch Armstrong.
And then there's always that next place where we're going to be stretched again, maybe in a different avenue or a harder situation, but it's our faith that is precious to God. We won't have to exert faith in heaven. We can only do that here.
Yes.
And that's precious to Him, and this is where we grow and we learn to come back at every point and say, okay, am I going to choose to believe
that's
that
right.
You can do this and that you're real or not?
And then when He comes through, we get all jazzed up in our faith again.
Well, He doesn't always come through in the way that we think.
Ah, that's true. I was going to say, yes, He does. Well, you're right.
An example, my first grandchild was born with cerebral palsy, and when she was first, in the ICU, we didn't know if she would live or die. And God had sent me a year before into a situation to a woman who I hardly even knew, and told me very clearly, go and pray for that baby. And the baby was miraculously healed. It's the only experience I've ever had personally in that line. And the baby was miraculously healed and nothing was wrong with it. And when my granddaughter was born, I was on my knees, God, please, don't let anything bad happen here. And my daughter had given her heart to God, had done everything right. And God didn't answer that prayer the way He did with this other baby. And I had to, it took me a few days of
wrestling.
God, why? Why now? Why this? As time
went.
My granddaughter's baby was 24 last week. And she is the light of many of our lives. She's always happy. She loves God. She will be forever 7. She is a joy, to us. And, I praise God for her. But I didn't see that then.
Yes.
I had to trust God.
Yes.
X amount of years as I watched other little children, grow and mature and be able to walk and talk and her struggle. I had to trust God, and it was a stretching experience. But I had to choose I had a week where I wrestled with God and had to choose.
Yeah.
God, I will trust You in this.
Yeah.
And but that wasn't the last of it.
Oh no.
That was 24 years ago. I've gone through many others, and that's what it comes down to. If we could see it, we wouldn't have to have faith.
Amen. Maybe that's how you're raising your hand.
If
thing that screams to me that verse 6, be anxious for nothing, and help me if I'm wrong, but anxious can also be worry. Is that another phrase of that? So this is starting off with a command for us to not worry or don't be anxious, but in everything, bringing it to prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then the promise is that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and our minds. So this dovetailing with what Stu was saying is that we continue to have new experiences and new opportunities for us to either be anxious or to not be anxious.
Yeah.
And we have to be continuously taking things to God in prayer.
Yes.
And to not pick up that worry, not pick up that anxiousness, but to give it over to God.
Yes.
Exactly. So that speaks very strong to me today.
Hey, Aaron.
You know,
what he was saying, I think that word thanksgiving is so important. Because with that thanksgiving, God knows that we are trusting Him. Mm. And without that thanksgiving, our hearts aren't right. And when we say, thank you, Lord, you know, I am trusting you no matter what, and if the circumstances don't turn out the way I want it to, I am still trusting you. Then the peace of God can come. But if we're not thankful, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. With the peace of God, you know, even in that last verse in Colossians 3:15, it says, and be thankful. With the peace of God comes the praise of God. Mm-hmm. You can thank Him in all situations. You know? And it says something else in this verse that I really love in Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of Christ... Well, I'm going to give you one more first, because it has to do with what we were talking about. You know, Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast on you because He trusts in you. In other words, as you trust in the Lord, as you set your heart and mind on Jesus, and you trust in Him, He will keep your mind and your heart in perfect peace as you do that. Now, that word back in Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your body, there in your hearts. Do you guys see that there? That word, it almost sounds like an Italian word, okay? But the Greek word there for rule is bravino. I can't help but say it in an Italian way, not in a Greek way.
Bravino.
And it means this. It means to decide, to determine, to direct, to govern, or literally to umpire. Let the peace of God make the call. Make the judgment. Be the umpire in your life, okay? So when you're making some of these decisions, the first thing we use when you're making the decisions in your life, first thing we use is the Word of God. You know, is the decision I'm making right now line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, kick it out. Because God will never put you in a direction that's contrary to His Word, okay? The next thing is, what you do is you ask the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can speak truth into your life, okay? The third thing is right here, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That can be an indicator as well of whether I'm going in the right direction, right? I've got a decision, it lines up with the Word of God, it doesn't really say yes or no, maybe it's a job situation or a placement, whatever. Should I do this? You know? And if your heart's really for the Lord and you're really seeking Him, right? He takes care of it. Sometimes we'll make a decision and we'll step out, well, I'm just going to do it. You know, and then the Lord starts tugging on your heart. Well, I don't have a peace about it. You know, I don't want to think about it. I'm just going to go this way because it makes sense to me, right? I need this job, right? This person, yeah, I really love him. I really love her. And the Lord's saying, direction, this is going to give you a lot more pain, a lot more baggage. You guys know what I'm talking about? He doesn't allow you to have that peace. If you're young in the Lord, well, this is sometimes, now you can't, this can't be the only indicator, peace, because people lie to themselves. You know what I'm saying? If you've met a mature person in the Lord, especially those of you, oh, I have total peace about it. and you're thinking to yourself, it's more of a, oh my gosh, you are totally going in the wrong direction. Stop! So that can't be the only indicator, but that can be an indicator. You know, like when I'm really praying about a decision, Lord, you know what? I just have a peace about it. I know where I stand with it. I have a peace with you. That can be a wonderful indicator of whether or not you're going in the right direction. But especially if you're young or if you're involved in some sin. I don't even know if I should share this story. Should I? No, because I don't have permission. Oh, it's just a great illustration. Anyhow, okay, so let the Lord, let the peace of God make the call in your life. Okay, right? You guys watch baseball? Anybody? Baseball fans? Okay. Okay, now back in the old days, right, they had the Olympics. They would make judgment calls, right, at the Olympics. So that's where this word comes from. But let the peace of God umpire your life, right? Hit the light just for a second, Elijah, please. You guys, what call is he making right now?
Safe.
That's right. He's making the call. The peace of God umpiring. He's saying it's safe, right? This one?
Out.
Right? Or, you know, ball, or, you know, sorry, I can't. Some of the umpires do a little strike. You're on it. You know, it's a little crazy. But they're making the calls, right? They're governing the game. In the same way, the peace of God is going to govern your heart if you're really seeking Him. He's going to lead you in the way you should go. If you really want to know, if you're really sincere, He's going to lead you. That peace, the Holy Spirit. I was praying for somebody a couple weeks ago, and I was just saying, you know, Lord, they were going in the wrong direction, and it was really bad. And I just prayed, Lord, I just said, I was praying with somebody. I said, Lord, just make them miserable. Yeah. And the person I was praying with said, what? Yeah. I can tell the prayer kind of startled me a bit. And I said, I just kept praying, Lord, make them miserable until they turn back to you. Draw their hearts back to you. That's not right. That's not a hard thing. That was a loving thing. Because that's the place where they're going to have the peace. So let the Lord, let the peace of God make the call in your life. Okay? I already lost my clicker. I'm gone. Thanks. Let the peace of God umpire. Okay? And then may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. If you don't trust in Him, you're not going to be filled with that peace. You're not going to see God move in your life. You're not going to grow in your walk. But as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as you trust in Him, you realize, yeah, I can trust in Him more. And I can trust in Him more. And you can trust in Him more. And He'll give me peace in this situation. And He'll rescue me in this situation. Even if I go the wrong way, He'll bring me back. Oh, what a wonderful Savior I have. That's our Lord. And then you want other people to know the Lord that way. Intimately, personally, wonderfully. It'll overflow from you like living water. You don't have to force it. Do you know the four spiritual laws? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? Hallelujah. You don't need to do that. It'll just come off. It'll flow out of you. Well, like that girl, she's like, I don't know, there's just something about you. It's just, you always come in here and you're just, you know, you're joyful. And even when I'm not, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just having a bad day, but praise the Lord. They're like, wow, you just, there's something. I'm like, yeah, that's something. It's just, it's Jesus. That's who He is. It'll just overflow from you if you're trusting Him, if you're allowing Him to do the work He should. If you're holding back, you're not allowing Him, you're going to be like a little sour lemon. That's not what He wants for you. Mm-hmm. He wants the joy of the Lord to flow over as you trust in Him. Are you trusting in Him? Fully. Let the Word of God dwell, excuse me, let the peace of Christ rule, umpire in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Listen, if I want to see people freaking out, I see the world. Now, the world puts on an act. You know what I'm saying? Oh, everything's great, everything's fine. But you really get to know if they are freaking out. That shouldn't be with you, Christian. You listen, you cast your burdens on the Lord. If you need to vent, go to a brother and give it to him. Go to a sister. Go to the Lord. Cast your burdens on him. He cares for you. Remember we did that illustration where they took those weights off me last week? What a fantastic illustration. You know, I think of Josh. I dumped a garbage truck of junk on him like a couple weeks ago, poor guy. But it says that, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now this is a biggie. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It has the understanding, like in the Old Testament, when they were in the desert, right, in the tabernacle, right, and they were going to worship God, like in Exodus 40, and the cloud by a day and the fire by night would come down on the tabernacle where the Lord resided, right, where they worshiped him, and you could just see it. It filled the place up. Or like in Solomon's temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, when he dedicated the temple, they said that Shekinah glory of the Lord came down. They said the priests even had to leave. There was just so much of the glory of the Lord, they had to just step out. They couldn't even continue with their duties. God was just overflowing out of the place, right? Now, in that same way, Christ chooses to dwell anywhere he wants, and he chooses to dwell in you because he loves you so much. He wants to be with you. Not only does he want to be with you, he wants to be in you every second, every moment of the day to help guide you along as you trust in him, as you move with him. Do you not know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you if you're born again? 1 Corinthians 3:16. That's what it says. And I'm going to ask you a question because there's a word here that's important. And I'm going to have it in the next one. And you can leave that off, Lentis, okay. The Greek word for dwell is enokeo. And it means to have it or it means to feel at home with. So what God is saying to you is, now that you're a believer, I want the Word of God, the Bible, I want it to dwell in you. I want it to inhabit you. I want it to be at home in you. So let me ask you a question. What does it mean to feel at home? Now, I need the mic, so raise your hand. What does it mean to you, to feel at home? Yes, right there.
To feel comfortable.
Okay, sorry.
To feel comfortable.
Good.
Secure.
Comfortable, to feel secure. What else? What does it mean for you to feel at home?
Love.
I'm sorry?
Love.
Love.
What is that?
Feel loved, feel comfortable. What else? What does it mean to you? If I said, hey, I want you to come over to the house afterwards, you know,
I don't want to go to the pastor's house because it's like all holy or whatever.
And I said, hey guys, just, you know, I just want you to feel at home. What would that mean to you? What?
Accepted.
Accepted. Good. What else? There's some more over here. We're going to get the mic over here. Come on. There's
at a few peace.
Here. What is it?
At peace.
At peace. Good.
When someone tells me to make myself at home in their house, that means that I should be comfortable enough to open the cupboards and open the fridge and get my own drink and just let myself in.
Absolutely. Good. What else? Oh, yeah, George.
Yeah, she already said the same thing I was going to.
Yes, that's great. Over here.
When you feel at home, it's you're being treated as family, so you feel like you belong. You feel like you are completely family. So that's how I like people to feel when they come over. Just feel like you're family. You know, I don't have to put on a show. They don't have to put on a show. We can just feel extremely comfortable with one another.
Yes. So that's what it means when the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Listen, if you're a Sunday-only Christian, I'm not here to down you. I'm glad you're here. You're actually... And I don't say this in a braggy way, but you're in a good Bible-teaching church. It's solid here. You're not going to get any selfish, wacky, crazy stuff like you would. Come on, we're going to pray for our third tithe of the day. You know, whatever. You're getting good, solid stuff here. And that's only because of the Lord. And I didn't start this church. The Lord started this church. I was a reluctant pastor. I was like, I don't even want to do it, Lord. Do it anyway. Mm-hmm. do it anyway. But it says that the word of Christ dwell in your ministry. That means he wants you to feel at home. He wants you to feel comfortable. He wants you to feel safe. He wants you to feel secure. He wants to have you feel like you can come and go, come at any time. That you can go and grab a ham sandwich out of the fridge. Go grab some soda out of the whatever. Go have a cookie. Just go into the cookie jar. He wants the word of Christ to be so at home in your heart that it has reigned every area of your life. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Sunday-only Christian, you're never going to get that. Even though you're going to a good church, you need to be taking the word of God in for yourself. You need to be maybe listening to teachings. Listen, if anybody here wants good Bible teachings, a book of the Bible, you just go grab an iPod or go grab, buy something, MP3 player, bring it to us, and we'll download it with teachings from good, solid teachers. So you can grow, you can listen, you can go for a walk, and you can listen to the Word of God. Or maybe in your car, we have CDs. We'll give you the CDs. And you can listen to MP3s, and you can listen to the Word of God and be refreshed so that it becomes so at home in heart and life. It's not like when the Lord is speaking about an issue, oh, I'm sorry, you can't go in that room, Lord. You know, you got my business life, my private life at home, you don't have. Or my relationships, that's guarded because, you know, whatever. He wants every area. The Word of Christ needs to be at home in every area of your heart and life. You know, come Sundays, get it in you. Come on Thursdays. We're having a Bible study. Get it. Listen to the radio. Listen to the Bible teachings. If you want devotionals, we'll give it to you. Free. As a gift. We don't want anything from you. You know what we want? We want you to grow in the Lord and those roots to go down deep so that when the winds come, the waves of trials or persecution or what, you'll be standing stable. Christianity right now are miles and miles and miles and miles wide, but only a couple inches deep. Any windstorm is going to uproot that thing because there's no real root to it. God wants you so rooted. He wants the word so welcome in every area of your house that it's just coming out of you. Right? That's just how you live. Every area of your life. He wants it just to feel at home there. But if you're not hiding it in your heart, then how is that going to happen? So I'm just telling you. You want devotionals in the Word of God? We'll give it to you. You want audio MP3s? Come to me. We'll give it to you. You want me to load stuff on there for you on MP3 players? We'll do it. Whatever. We want that in you. You just have to choose if you want that or not. But I can tell you, as being a Christian for many years, that's the thing that's going to stabilize you. There's a lot of young Christians out there, a lot of immature Christians that don't even know what they don't know. They're blown around by every wind of doctrine, and they don't even know it. Scares me. Okay? Does it scare you too, Joyce? You're shaking your head? Uh-huh. Wants you to feel at home. Oh! And we're out of time before we have to go on to the next verse, which starts with wives submit to your husbands. Oh! That's such a shame.
We can say it.
No, that's... We don't want to rush into things, Josh.
We're good. I got it down.
Now I know we need to get into that.
Aaron, just skip 18. Yes. Right on the
19. Yes. Where it says husbands, love your wives. Yes. Christ loves you.
There
there's a lot here, and so you can all be come back and be offended next week. There's stuff with wives to be offended at when the word has. There's stuff with husbands you can be offended. Kids, you can come be offended too because it's going to speak to you. Managers, bosses, employees, there's stuff for all of us here. And we joke around, some of the stuff is hard, but it's needed, but we'll try to put it in the right way because a lot of these verses have been very much misused to manipulate people and to control people, and it's kind of sick. Okay, so we're going to go over some of these, the family playbook in Colossians 3, 18 to 21. Thank you, Lord, for me dodging the bullet this particular week.
Funny you say that because what I have experienced, how some people have used it, they have literally used that as a weapon.
Oh, absolutely.
Just
bludgeon people.
Oh,
terrible.
Sickening.
It is. That's why, so Lord willing, we're going to teach this the word the right way. There's going to be some hard things that we have to listen to, but there's also some good things. We're going to teach it the right way, God willing. Okay? Is there any other comments about today? So let the peace of Christ, let Jesus Christ umpire in your heart. Let him make the call, right? Not what you want to do, not the direction you want to go. What does Jesus say about it? Let him make the call, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it feel at home. You know what? You know why we have a couch here and stuff like that? You know why I'm dressed in jeans and stuff? Because I want to feel at home here. I want you to feel comfortable here. That you can come just as you are. And let the Lord deal with you. Just as you are. And the Word of God will do the same thing if you'll get that in you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we just say thank you for who you are, Lord. We say thank you that your Word doesn't return void, Lord God. That it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path every single step, Lord God. That you will guide us as we put our trust in your word. I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, if there's anyone here that's wanting to grow and wanting to be stirred and wanting to be deepened, that you would put some of these things on their heart, Lord. That they would just start in the New Testament. They pick a book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Start going through it one chapter at a day, Lord. Mark chapter 1, and then Mark chapter 2 the next day, and then Mark chapter 3. Every day praying, asking you to speak to them, Lord. That you would put some of these things, saying, man, you know I need more of your word in me, Lord. That you, Lord, would even, I'm going to ask that you would not give them a peace, Lord. And stir them up until they're seeking you more. Till I'm seeking you more, Lord God. We just stir them up because we know, Lord, that your word does not return void. But accomplishes the purposes you set it out for. And those purposes are good for us, Lord. So, Lord, help us to develop an appetite for your precious, wonderful word, Lord God, and that we can have your word dwell in us richly, that it would just come out of our lips and our actions, Lord, without even thinking about it, Lord. It would just be a soul part of who we are, Lord. And we love you, and we ask that you would help each one of us here, those roots to grow down deep in you, Lord God, in your heart, in your word, and your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And we ask if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, Lord, and hasn't given their hearts and lives over to you, Lord, personally, that you would grab them and you would help them to grab somebody here and say, I don't really know Jesus like this. I don't know that kind of peace. I don't trust in him that way. Will you help me? And Lord, that we could, that you would bring salvation to their heart and to their home, Lord, even today, Lord, that they would just grab somebody and say, I would like to know this Jesus. And we ask this blessing, Lord, in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One last thing. If anybody, any young guys can help Miss Laura, Laura, would you raise your hand? She needs a washer put on top.
I need a dryer put on top of a washer.
Right. She lives right around here by the church, so she needs a dryer put on top of a washer. I can't do that. So we need some young bucks. Would you please speak to her and she'll help you with that. One last thing. If anybody wants one of these, I've got two left. My Heart, Christ's Home. Would anyone like one of these? Done. Tell me what you think, okay? Anybody else? I got one more. It's free in Jesus' name. Good girl. All right, guys, have a great week.